I believe that we all want success. We want to have success in our personal life. We want to have success in our family life. We want to have success in our churches. But now, don't get me wrong. When I talk about success, I'm not talking the definition of success the world says. The world says that if you make $1 million a year, you're a successful person. The world says that if you live in a mansion, you're successful. The world says that if you drive the latest car model, you have success. The world says that if you have a mega church, you have success. That is not the definition of success for me. The definition of success is knowing and doing God's will. That is success. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how much you have in your pocket. It doesn't matter how big or how small your church is. Having success, it's knowing and doing God's will. That's why Jesus was always saying, I have done to do my Father's will constantly. He was doing it. And that's interesting because even the night before he was crucified, he went 3 times, said, Father, if it's possible, let this pass, but let it be your will. Because if we're going to use the word of success, or the definition of success in Jesus' ministry, we have to say that he was a failure. Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old. When he was 33, he was on the cross. If nowadays, if we judge by success, how many years, we have to say that Jesus only lasted 3 years in ministry and that he was a failure. But because he constantly came saying that he has come to do his Father's will, at the third day he rose from the dead. And that's so important for us as Christians and as churches to understand that we need to know and to do God's will. So that is success. It doesn't matter what goes on in our world. It doesn't matter what goes on in politics or in the government or in our nation or in Florida or in South Florida. We need to start knowing and doing God's will. And if we want to do or have this kind of success of knowing and doing God's will, we need to know and understand the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus is based on 3 elements, humility, wisdom, and mercy. And if we say that Jesus dwells in our life, these 3 elements should be basic in our life. We should have humility. We should have wisdom. We should have mercy. Unless we have our pockets full of rocks. And literally, we sometimes do have our pockets full of rocks. And there is hate. And there is resentment. And there is pride. And that's why we can't understand what is the will of God and do it. Because as long as our pockets are full of rocks, we can't have success. As long as we walk around with hate, resentment, pride, we can't know and do God's will. And that's why I think that nowadays we are in the situation that we are. I believe that that's why our families are the way they are. Because our pockets, you're going to say, wait a second, Darius. You came and you say hi to me and your pockets were full of rocks, yes. You're going to tell me that you were worshiping with your pockets full of rocks, yes. My question for you this morning is, what's in your pocket? What's in your purses? Because a lot of times we come to church and my fear, and please listen to my heart, my fear is that we become already professional in what we do. We know when to raise our hands. We know when to lower our hands, when to close our eyes. We know the songs. We know the Bible. We know, but are we walking it? Or is it really that our pockets are full of rocks? And that's why there's so many divisions and conflicts in our churches. And that's why there's so many divorces. And that's why our family and our kids, because reality is that we are walking with our pockets full of rocks. The Lord said that we are more than conqueror. More than conqueror. Why are we satisfied with just being conquerors? Why are we satisfied with keep walking around? And I don't know how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you threw a rock at your wife or your kids this morning? Maybe on the way over here, or maybe as we parked in church. And then we're here now worshiping a holy, holy, holy God. And then we say, Lord, what's going on in our marriages, in our family, in our churches, in our nation? And reality is because our pockets are full of rocks. And it's so easy to harm people. We're going to see today in everyday life of Jesus, humility. We're going to see real quick in these verses, in his everyday life, we're going to see wisdom and mercy. I invite you to open your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 11. Because we need to ask the question, what do we have in our pockets? What do we have in our purses? What's going on in our marriages? What's going on? And it's okay. We understand what's going on in the world. Jesus said in the cross, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. My question is, what's happening in the Christian family? What's happening in our churches? What's happening in our marriage? John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to see these three elements in his daily life. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible, this story starts, the woman caught in adultery, starts in chapter 7 of verse 53. And listen what it says. And everyone went to his own house. And this verse simply says that Jesus was teaching the multitudes and was teaching the leaders and the Pharisees. And that the only thing that verse says is that they all went to their house. Now, reality is, this verse has no meaning until you don't read chapter 8, verse 1. And listen what chapter 8, verse 1 says. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, please understand, why is there humility here? Here is the creator of everything, the owner of everything, and he did not have a home where to go to. And I don't want you to feel sorry for him, because did you notice where he went on that verse 1? But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. You see, I personally believe that he did go home. Why would Jesus go to the Mount of Olives? To spend time with his Father. To spend time praying. And here's the Son of God. He needed to spend time praying. See, because when there's humility, we're going to look for time to pray. When there's rocks in our pockets, there's so much pride that there is no prayer. And when we really want success, when we really want to know and do God's will, it starts in humility. When we really want to know and do God's will, it starts with prayer. We need to go before our Father and says, Lord, help me and make me a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father, a better man, a better woman. It has to start with humility. That's why Jesus has said that the foxes have caved and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have where to rest his head. But you see, he did have a home. That was his home. Let me ask you a question. What's our home? Where is where we're spending most of our time nowadays? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it watching the news? Is it worrying? Is it working? Is it in pornography? Is it in adultery? What's in our pockets? Because if we want success, if we want to know and do God's will, listen to my heart, it has to start with humility. And I learned it here from Jesus. He constantly was sending the multitudes away. He told the disciples, listen, get on the boat and I'll meet you on the other side. Why? Because he needed to spend some time with his Father. How much more don't we need to spend time with our Father? How many more time don't we need to go and say, Lord, here's my family. Here's the chaos that there is. Lord, here's my finances. Lord, here's my health. Lord, here's our church, our ministry. Here's our city. It's time for us, if we really want to know and do God's will, it needs to start with humility. No, we don't know it all. No, we don't practice it all. It's time to start with prayer. And it's interesting because you can go to Christian bookstore, you can go to Lifeway, and you're going to see walls of books on prayer. And it's going to teach you how to pray with your eyes open, with your eyes closed, with your hands up, with your hands down, on your knees, on your face, in a closet. You can call Florida Baptist Convention and they'll send you a conference leader that's going to teach you how to pray. Prayer chains, walking while you're praying, and I have nothing against books or conferences. But I honestly believe that it's time for us to stop reading so much on prayer and talking so much about prayer and start praying. It's time for our families and our churches to fall on our knees, but I'm afraid that we don't do that because we do still have rocks in our pockets. There's still so much pride that thinking, well, I already know all the Bible verses, and I already hear their sermon, and I already know this story, and I already know the songs, and I already know who's going to teach me what. But what if we start dropping those rocks and saying, Lord, just help me be the man or the woman that you want me to be. Lord, just help me to be the Christian, the leader, the pastor that you want me to be. But I don't only find humility in that verse. Listen to what verse 2 says. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. You're going to tell me, why do you find humility in that verse? It just says that he woke up, and he went back to the temple, and he started teaching. Remember who we're talking about? We're talking about Jesus. I don't think that Jesus needed to go back to the temple and teach. I personally think that if he wanted everybody to know that he was the Messiah, he could have had two angels floating at the doors of the temple announcing that he was the Messiah. I think that when it was time to preach, he could have gotten up with his finger, and in the sky, he could have written the sermon for that day. But you see, when there's humility, when there's prayer, the Lord is always going to show us what are the needs. Let me ask you a question. Are we humble enough for somebody to teach us? Are we humble enough to teach someone? Are we humble enough to give a tract, to give the plan of salvation to your neighbors, to in Walmart, in Publix, wherever we go? Because if this was his normal day of prayer and going to teach, we need to ask ourselves, is there a lot of hate or resentment or pride that we don't need to go to Sunday school or small groups or Bible study? Well, he doesn't have nothing to teach me. I've been in church longer than he has. And then that's why there's no success. Because we're not looking and doing God's will. Maybe there is pride in our life. Because nowadays we're always blaming the government and we're always blaming Satan. It's almost embarrassing. We're always blaming Satan for everything. And then James says that he puts a temptation, but we're the one that goes after it. Because yes, Satan is powerful, but listen, he is not all powerful. And it's time for us to start saying, Lord, we want to know and we want to do your will. But right here, we see that it starts with prayer. It starts being humble. It starts saying, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want for me to do during the week, during the day, that's where I want to be at. But I told you, if we want to have success, we need to have humility, but we also need to have wisdom. Listen to what happens in verse 3 through 5. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Wow. Let me tell you a little bit about these guys. The Pharisees and the scribes, these guys, they knew it all. They knew it all. Not only they knew it all, they were the religious leaders in those times. Remember when Herod says, where is this king of the Jews supposed to be born? These were their guides. These are the Pharisees and the scribes. They didn't have to look in the rolls in the Old Testament. They knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but they never took the time to go see if this is the Messiah. You see, be very careful with intelligence and wisdom. There's a whole two different worlds. You could be extremely intelligent and zero in wisdom. You can have two doctorates and have zero wisdom. Here are these guys, and you notice what happened? Jesus is preaching in the temple, and all of a sudden the doors bust open, and they bring in a woman that said there was caught in the very act of adultery. We don't know if she was semi-nude. We don't know if she had a blanket on her. All we know that they brought in a woman who got caught in adultery. There's no humility there. There's no wisdom there. Because as pastors and leaders, if we catch a woman in adultery, we don't drag her and throw her before you. We minister to her. We give her the opportunity to repent and for a fresh start, for a new beginning. But here we see that these men, they didn't care about humility. These Pharisees and scribes, they didn't care about wisdom. They came with their pockets full of what? Of rocks. They came with their pockets full of rocks. They were willing to kill this woman right there and then. And they are right when they said that that Moses in the law commanded them. And it's true. When you look it up, it is true that says that the man and the woman should be stoned to death. Who's missing in this story? The man. Do you notice that there is no humility? That there is no wisdom? They didn't care. They just wanted to catch Jesus. And that's why this was going on there at that moment. Now, listen to what happens in verse 6. This, they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Don't miss this. They said they were trying to accuse him. If Jesus would have said, stone her to death, they would have said, you're not the Messiah. Where's your love? Where's your mercy? If Jesus would have said, let her go, they would have said, you're not the Messiah. You came to break Moses' law. Wow. Did you notice what Jesus said in that verse? He didn't say anything. Why do we think that wisdom is always saying something? And I'm Hispanic. The Hispanics are worse. We always have to say something. Even if we don't know the answer, we'll invent something, but we'll say something. But it's interesting because that verse says that Jesus just, he stooped down as though he didn't hear. And I like that because some commentary said that he just sat down and he started writing on the sand the name of everybody that was there possible. Other commentary said that he sat down and he started writing the sins of everybody that was there possible. But I like other commentary said that he just sat down and he started playing in the sand with his finger, just doodling around, giving them time to think what they had just done. You see, because a lot of time when we don't have wisdom, we just do things and we don't even think about it. So a lot of times we just go ahead and we say things and we throw rocks and we hurt people at church and our neighbors and our wife and our husband and our kids, and we don't even care what damage we've done. Now he was giving them that time to think the damage or what they were doing at that moment. You know what's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to say, when to say it, and even if we should say it. Wisdom is saying, Lord, what should I say at this moment? Because a lot of times we don't even ask for wisdom. We just throw rocks. And that's why our marriages and our family and our kids and our churches and our nation, because we're just walking around with rocks in our pocket and just with hate and resentment and pride, and we just throw rocks and we're hurting. And that verse says that Jesus just stooped down as though he did not hear. Verse 7, so when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Wow. You see, that's pure wisdom. And it says that they continued to ask. That's what we call that stress. They were there and saying, teacher, do we kill her or we let her go? We kill her or we let her go? I don't know about you, but if I would have been there, I would have messed up. Maybe I would have said, man, these are the religious leaders. They know their Bible really good. And I would have said, kill her. And they would have said, you're wrong. You're not the Messiah. Where's your love? Where's your mercy? Or maybe I would have been wanting to be more holy than Jesus and say, oh, we got to forgive her. And they would have said, you're wrong again. You came to break Moses' law. But here is pure wisdom. In his everyday life, not only we see humility, but we see wisdom. He said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Please remember that Jesus had just finished preaching that if you look at a woman desiring her in your heart, you had just committed adultery. Jesus had just finished preaching that if you called your brother an idiot, you have just committed homicide. Now, he who hasn't sinned, throw the first rock. I remember I have a 24-year-old son, and when he was like 2 or 3, I got home, and he was doing something. He wasn't sinning, but he was doing something I don't think he should have done. I went to him, and I gave him a sermon, a 3-point sermon. The only thing that was missing was to pick up the offering. I mean, I just let him have it. When I was done with my sermon, he looked up, and he says, Mom gave me permission. Ooh. Maybe I should have gone to Mom first. To talk first. You see, I think that maybe nowadays we need to go to Dad first. Maybe we need to go to the Father and say, Lord, what should I say? When should I say it? And even if I should say it. Because we're harming for stuff that has nothing to do with anything. And even when it is something to do with sin, he still wants us to have wisdom to what to say, when to say it. But nowadays, our purses and our pockets are full of rocks, and we just throw it, and we say, man, wait till I get to church. If he's there or if she's there, I'm going to nail them in the head. You're going to see the bump in their head. Or when we're driving, especially in Miami, we really have a lot of rocks in our pockets. And nobody can even dare to ask us to go in front of. And we live this life like if we're all frustrated. And Jesus says, hey, if you have no sin, you go ahead and you throw the first rock. See, that is pure wisdom. Verse 8, and again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And I love that. And I love that because all of a sudden, there are commentaries that said that he continued writing names on the ground, possible. There's other commentaries that said that he started writing the names of the men that had had sex with this lady. That's really bad, but it's possible. But I like other commentaries that he just started now again playing in the sand with his finger, giving them time to think what he had just said. You see, because we don't do that. Maybe right now you're saying, oh man, this fat guy is really preaching and I hope this John is paying attention. No, the sermon's for you. Oh man, I really wish that, you know, the Gonzalez family would be here because this sermon is, no. 99.9% of the sermon is for us. And now he is giving them time to think what he just said. Because a lot of times we preach, we teach, we sing, we say things, and we don't even hear what we just finished saying. And then somebody says, man, you really harmed me what you said. And I say, and then sometimes we say, oh, but it was a little rock. What if we start listening to what the Lord has to say to us? What if in the morning, instead of just getting up, Lord, thank you for this day, bless my kids, be with me, thank you for my job, and give me more money, amen. We get in the car and we leave, and the Lord says, wait a second, I have something to tell you. You see, because if we want to know and do God's will, there has to be humility. And there has to be wisdom. James says that if we need wisdom, what do we need to do? Just ask. And yet we're destroying our family, our marriages, our churches, our community, because we're not asking for wisdom. Verse 9, then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Please don't think that this is humility, this verse. Well, they were humble and they walked away. No, they weren't. Please don't say that this was wisdom. Well, they had enough wisdom and they walked away. No, they didn't. You know what I call this verse? Cowardness. They were cowards. Because it says that they were moved by their own conscience. They believe in Jehovah God. They were in the temple. If they didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the least that they could have done is drop the rocks, fall on their knees, and ask Jehovah God for forgiveness. That's the least that they could have done. But it says they all got up and walked away. You know what I call this verse nowadays? Sunday morning. How many times, maybe your pastor or your small group teacher have said something that it was time for you to fix your life, and when there's an altar call, we just get up and we walk away. And we walk away with our pockets still full of rocks. And then we say, Lord, what's going on with our marriage? Because there's no humility. Lord, but what's going on with my family? Because there's no wisdom. And when it's time to get it right with the Lord, we just walk away. Well, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Well, I've been in church for 20, 30 years. I'm not going to walk up. Okay, then today I'll give you the opportunity. You won't even have to walk up. Just fix our life with the Lord. My only prayer during this week, it says, Lord, please let us walk out of this place without rocks in our pockets and start being your people and start representing who you are. But there has to be humility. We need to say, Lord, I'm not being the husband that you want me to be. Especially within the Hispanics, we think that we work really hard, that's enough. No, the Lord wants us to be a spiritual leader in our house. For us to tell our wives at the table in the morning and the evening, let's have a moment of prayer at least. Let's stop walking away with rocks in our pockets and let's get it right before God. Listen to my heart. The price is too high. We're paying a very high price in our nations and our family and our churches because if we're saying, Lord, what's going on with our nation? And the Lord says, it's what's going on in my church. Because if we say, well, the government took out the prayer from the schools, who took out the prayer from our churches? And who took out the prayer from our families and our marriages? And yet we continue to walk away. And we think another marriage and another trip and a new job is going to make the difference. No, the difference is when we start taking our rocks away from our pockets and we start being the man and the woman and the father and the husband and the Christians and the leader that God has called us to be. I don't know about you, but my heart is so heavy when we see what's going on. But not only what we see when we go on in our nation, but when we see what goes on in Orlando. And my question was, what church is going to be able to stand up and minister to a homosexual community? And we see everything that goes on and the killings and the riots. And where is the church? Where was the church when Hitler started killing so many Jews? Where was the Christian church? Where was the Christian church in Cuba and in all and Venezuela and everything that's going on? This is our opportunity to stand up and to say that we believe in Jesus. And that we're not going to bow before anybody else. But we need to get rid of our rocks. We need to get rid of our rocks. Verse 10. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Wow, I love that verse. Did you notice what he called her? He called her woman. See, he didn't call her, "You prostitute, you adulteress." He started the restoration process. See, because there needs to be a restoration in our hearts and our life, but we can't have rocks. There needs to be a transformation. Because whenever we hear the word of God, whenever we worship, we go home and there has to be a transformation. The way that I speak to my wife, the way that my wife speaks to me, the way that I treat my kids, my relationship with the Lord, and then all of a sudden I say, wow, there's a transformation in my life. I want to go back to church because I want to continue being what God has called me to be. And that's in the business of the Lord. But you know what I love about this verse? You see, there was somebody there that could have thrown the first rock. His name was Jesus. He could have thrown that first rock against that woman. The Bible says that Jesus was without sin. You want to know the truth? There's still someone in here today that could throw the first rock against any one of us. And his name is still Jesus. But you know why my brother and my sister were be able to guide us in worship? Not because they sound good, not because they prepared, because of his mercy. You know why I get up to preach? Not because I'm a pastor, because I prepared for this sermon. It's because of his mercy. You know why you walked in through these doors and you're here today? Not because you're a member of First Baptist of Homestead. It's because of his mercy. See, if we really want to have success of knowing and doing God's will, there needs to be humility. There needs to be wisdom, but there needs to be mercy. Listen how this story ends in verse 11. And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Wow. But did you notice his definition of mercy? You see, that's different from ours. Remember at the beginning of the sermon, I told you the difference in definition of success with the world and ours? We do have a different definition of mercy also. Our definition of mercy sounds more like this. "Listen, lady, go home, stop being a prostitute, and then come to see if I forgive you. Because even if I forgive you, remember I forgive, but I don't forget." That's our definition. You did well. That's our definition of mercy. "Well, I forgive, but I won't forget. And you need to stop." Listen again to the order that Jesus said, because people says, "Oh, Jesus was easy." No, he wasn't. Listen what he said to her. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know what he chose there at that moment? He chose mercy. And that's what he chose this morning with us. And that's what he chose yesterday. And that's what he's going to choose tomorrow. But it's time for us. Listen, church. It's time for us that if we want success, we need to know and do God's will. We're all adults in here. We know what he wants from us. We know what he wants from us as a man, as a woman, as a wife, as a husband, as parents, as Christians, as a member of a church. We know. But I'm afraid that we're walking with our pockets full of rocks. And then we're asking, "Well, what's going on?" It's not the world. It's us. Because that's outside. What's going on in here? What's going on in our marriages? What's going on in our families? What's going on here? If we want to know and do God's will, I think it's time to start being humble, seeking him in prayer, and asking Pastor Howard, what can I do in the church? Who can I call? Who can I text? Who can I teach? It's time for say, "Lord, we need wisdom. I need to know what to say, when to say it, and even if I should say it." And it's time to practice mercy. that we can leave this place without any rocks in our pockets and our purses. That we can really say, Lord, I'm going to learn how to forgive. And maybe you're here and you've gone through two or three divorces. Listen, let the Lord heal your heart. But drop the rocks already. And maybe you're here in this nation or at work or somebody has done harm to you. Let the Lord heal your heart. And let's stop throwing rocks. Let's leave this place saying, Lord, I'm ready to be the Christian. I'm ready to be the leader, the pastor. Lord, I'm ready to be the husband, the wife, the father, the mother that you've asked me to be. Don't walk away from this place with rocks in your pockets. The price is way too high that we're destroying and we're harming people. What if it starts today? What if it's a fresh start? What if we really want to start knowing and doing God's will? We have to leave the rocks before Him today.